possible vaccine for cancer, weather advice for NASA, maybe even new fuel discoveries that make gasoline obsolete. All of this and more is happening every day here at one of the nation's top research universities, and you get to hear about it first, right here on Classic City Science.
If I say brain-eating amoebas, I know you'll listen to this next segment. And here to tell us more about those, we're joined by Dr. Dennis Kyle, Georgia Research Alliance eminent scholar in antiparasitic drug discovery and the head for the Center of Tropical and Emerging Global Diseases. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So what can you tell me about these incredibly scary sounding things?
They are incredibly scary sounding, and they probably should be, because it's the most fatal parasitic disease known to man. 98% of the people that get this infection will die within 2 to 4 days after they exhibit symptoms. The sad thing is these amoeba are ubiquitous in nature. Any warm water lake or soil around Athens and in the United States is going to have these amoeba. We particularly tend to encounter them mostly in fresh water, warm fresh water, where the amoeba can get up your nose, crawl up to the nerves into the frontal part of the brain, and that's where they start to cause the damage.
Well, if they live in these areas, then why do we not have more cases of people dying?
It's one of the many mysteries of these brain-eating amoeba we don't understand. The few that do get infected, we know that it's a rapidly fatal disease. They start to exhibit symptoms that can be easily confused with bacterial or viral meningitis. So many times the physicians are trying to diagnose that pathogen, and then they may happen to see the amoeba in a smear of the cerebral spinal fluid, which is one of the fluids they normally take for that kind of disease, and that's when they see the amoeba. So very often it's very late in the infection, or even after the person has died, before we actually know that they're infected with this organism.
How common is this?
It's not very common. We have around 400 cases in the United States. We see typically anywhere from 0 to 6 in a summer. But in other areas of the world, we know that it's more common. And that is, example of that is in Pakistan, where in one hospital we've seen as many as 14 cases in one summer, when it's, people are using water to clean their nasal passages as part of a religious ceremony called ablution. They're forcing this water up their nose and they're getting this infection. But if people understand that there is a possibility, you can wear nose plugs or try to avoid getting water up your nose in freshwater activities. Using a neti pot to clean your sinuses, make sure you have sterile water or boiled water instead of using tap water, because the amoeba could actually be there. It's usually not present in well-chlorinated water. That takes care of it. But there are some tap water systems, for example, in Louisiana, we've seen this, where it's broken down and the amoeba are actually there.
So you described when people start exhibiting symptoms that they usually die within 2 to 4 days. Well, how long can you be infected before you exhibit symptoms?
Most of the time it's within 5 to 7 days you start to exhibit symptoms after warm freshwater exposure. Sometimes it's a little bit less than that. So it's a rapidly fatal disease, and that's why we're working in the area of drug discovery. There's a cocktail of drugs that are used. These were all discovered for other indications like fungal infections. So at the University of Georgia, our lab has been focusing on trying to identify drugs that act very quickly, since it is such a rapidly fatal disease. And we've been successful. We have a series of new compounds, one that's actually an FDA-approved drug, and others that are earlier in development, that we think have potential to add to the current therapy so that we can hopefully save people's lives.
So if diagnosis is sort of tricky, are you just treating people hoping that you can be effective in this way, or how does the diagnosis work?
It's actually getting better in the diagnosis, because more ID physicians are aware that this is not just a problem in the southern United States. We've seen cases as far north as Minnesota, several cases in lakes up there. So in the summer or any warm freshwater exposure, the physician should be alert to the fact that it could be this pathogenic amoeba known as Neglaria fowleri that could be causing the disease instead of a viral or bacterial pathogen. If they suspect it and start looking for it in the cerebral spinal fluid, then we have a better chance of trying to have an early treatment outcome.
And why did you start working in this area?
I was interested in parasites as an undergraduate student, and this was the first project I did. I actually did my PhD project on how these amoeba are distributed in the water and the soil in the southeastern United States, and found that there's one common misconception, that is, you only get this when you're in shallow water stirring up the mud. That's actually not the case, because we found amoeba out in the middle of the lake in the surface film, that Neustan layer, where the very top film of the water, we found them there. We also found them in the water column at different depths. So if you're in for warm fresh water in the summer, you are being exposed to this at a very low risk, but it is a potential problem.
Well, thank you very much for being here today and telling us about this. Today, we've been joined by Dr. Dennis Kyle, Georgia Research Eminent Scholar at the University of Georgia, Franklin College of Arts and Sciences. For WUGA, I'm April Sorrow.